You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the live recording of the podcast from 54 Below, yes? This is Nella Vera. We are so happy to have you here. Please follow us at Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram, B-Way Pod Network on Twitter, and you can find us anywhere. Follow us, tag us in your photos, and we love you. Take it away.
Bye. Fantastic. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
So welcome, everybody, to the Fine Science 54 Below podcast. I'm Nella Vera, the director of marketing for the club, and we're so excited to be here doing a live show, which we've actually never done, here at Broadway Con, because we love this event. It's a great, wonderful annual event where the community comes together, and it's not just us who work on shows, but also we get a chance to get to know all of you, which is super, super exciting for us. Couple of just housekeeping things. Grace, who is our producer here, she has a bag of swag, which I think is in the back, that she'll can distribute to you at the end of the podcast. We also have a ton of stuff we're giving away at the Broadway Podcast Network booth, so find us in the marketplace. Today, our guests are two fantastic musical theater performers who have graced the stage at 54 Below a few times. So let me start and introduce Amanda Jane Cooper, who is known to national audiences for having played Glinda on the tour of Wicked. And in 2017, she made her Broadway debut where she starred as the show's 15th anniversary Glinda. What an honor, right? Aww. And also, she opened NBC's A Very Wicked Halloween with One Short Day and closed it with For Good, singing with Kristen Chenoweth. She took her final bow at the Gershwin on December 9th, 2018, and she is now one of Wicked's longest running Glindas. So yay, Amanda. And then Jelani Remy, who is sitting right here with me, is currently starring as Eddie Kendricks in Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations. Amazing show. And he was last seen in the recent off-Broadway revival of Smokey Joe's Cafe. If any of you guys saw him, he was the Jailhouse Rock guy who was amazing, right? And he also played Simba for many years on The Lion King. So welcome to both of you.
What is up, Broadway Con?
Yeah. So you've both performed at 54 Below, Fine Science 54 Below. Let me correct myself. Amanda, right. You've done your own show, and Jelani, you've been a guest there many times. So tell us what's so different and special about performing there.
No, you go.
No, you go.
What I love about Fine Science 54 Below is that it's a safe space for us as artists just to have a great time and to just sort of put ourselves out there. Show behind, we get to be ourselves and really just shine. And I love the environment, and I love that the audience is always so responsive, and just it's the perfect place for us to just let loose and just perform, you know, just to be. And the ambiance and the history behind it, so many great people have performed there. So it's like a New York staple.
Yeah, it's such an honor. The solo show that I did was called Somewhere Over the Rainbow, as an homage to Wicked, as well as several things that have happened on the journey of my life. And it was really special because for a long time, I just had the honor and privilege of performing for, you know, almost 2,000 people at the Gershwin. And so to come do something that was more intimate was really special. And then also something that was really, you know, there was no character. It was just me. It was just me sharing my life experiences and hopefully making people laugh. It was really, really special. To have that space and the freedom to do that is an honor.
Yeah, I've heard from other artists who say that it's it forces you to be honest with your audience because you don't have a character to hide behind.
Absolutely. I would say I was like more nervous.
It's terrifying.
For 54 Below than I've been in a long time, because there's no costume, you know? It's just you.
I will say the word that you said, intimate, is perfect, because it's definitely like so wonderfully exposing to be so close and so connected.
Yes.
And the sound in there is so crystal clear.
Yes.
That it is just, it's like a love letter from your heart to the people. And that connection that you get there is, it's different than being on stage. It's something really coveted and special. So any chance I get to perform at Feinstein's 54 Below,
hey,
I'm going to do it.
I can tell you a funny story about the sound. So my bosses are Broadway producers. You know, they're legendary Broadway producers. They brought Hairspray, The Producers, Young Frankenstein, you know, the last five Sondheim revivals, just all of that. And they, when they set out to design the club, they hired all of these Tony Award-winning designers to do it. And they said to the sound designer, get us, you know, really good sound. And he brought them a bid that was very high, but of course they were comparing it to Broadway prices because they didn't know what sound equipment should cost for a restaurant or a club. And so they were like, oh, that sounds good. And of course it turned out to be very expensive equipment, but that's why the sound is so good and why you can hear every lyric in that tiny little room, because they overspent, unknowingly, they overspent on the sound
system.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We thank you.
Yes.
We thank you.
So prior to Broadway, you both started your careers on tour. Amanda, you were on Wicked, and Jelani, you toured with High School Musical and The Lion King. Can you tell us what touring life is like and what you loved about it or didn't love about it?
The thing I love the most about touring is family. I think on tour, because you're traveling and you're living with your cast, and it's just, there's like a familial feel that is really beautiful. So that was my absolute favorite thing. I just felt like there was a really nice connectedness between the cast, and then also seeing the country and experiencing audiences all over the country, watching how the audiences kind of are wherever you go. And I thought it was really exciting.
I'll piggyback off that, the family thing. I think that the thing I didn't like about it was that I was missing a lot of my family things. I was missing a lot of birthdays. I was missing a lot of anniversaries, graduations. So it's sort of, it's a give and take, you know, because we're away doing this wonderful gift, but you are missing out on a lot of real life things that are sometimes taken for granted. Mm-hmm. But I will say, being on tour, you get to see this beautiful country, because there's so much of this country that is just breathtaking and is really wonderful. Like the West, y'all, the West. The West is really pretty.
And the Midwest,
exactly. Flat as can be. But but again, and we're bringing art to these places that wouldn't necessarily get it. So to be able to give them a taste of Broadway for the very appreciative, it's awesome.
And I think also tour grows you in your adaptability. Like every single time you're like, all right, I'm in this town. Let me learn where the Trader Joe's is. Okay.
Let me check the pollen count. Yes.
Right. And let me check the humidity levels here so I know how long I need to steam after the show. It makes you adaptable, which is a good thing to grow in.
Yeah. And I never lived in company housing. I would always find like sublets or people to live with, because I wanted to like experience. I feel like hotels are for vacations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I would always find like a home to live in, or like sometimes, okay, I would like find a vacant apartment and like furnish it,
for,
like rent a center, yeah, and then return it all. Or I would like do like the 30-day trials of like internet and stuff, and then just tell them it didn't work out. So you find your little loopholes of how to. Am I sharing too much? You find your loopholes
some
of how
good
to
tips.
Some good tea. So you find your loopholes of how to survive. I did all that.
I'm just like thinking about how much work that actually is.
No,
I
loved
like Airbnb,
it. Well, here's
click.
The thing. Because the Lion King, each sit down was like a month or longer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so
with
you
Wicked,
got to
we
spread
had long.
Out. So you could properly plan this stuff out.
You got to be enterprising when you're on tour. Yep.
My dad always said a failure to plan is a plan to fail.
That's a good word, Dad.
Amanda, you were one of Wicked's longest running Glindas, beginning with the being on tour in 2011 and then finishing out in 2018 at the Gershwin. And you playing the same role for quite a bit. Did you make adjustments over time? Did you notice a difference in how audiences reacted on the road versus Broadway?
Oh, gosh. Well, to speak to your first point about how my Glinda sort of changed, I mean, yeah, when I first played her, I was 22 years old. I had never done 8 shows a week before, and I was just out of college. And so, I was on the First National for about 8 months and then moved to Los Angeles to do film and TV for about 4 years, and then came back to Wicked on the Second National tour. So there was about a 5-year gap there from my first go to my second. And oh my gosh, I mean, full disclosure, when I was 20, 22. I never had my heart properly broken. And as we know, you know, there's some stuff that Glinda goes through that that I just couldn't wholly relate to, that 5 years later I was able to bring more life to. So that was difficult, but also great for my performance. So I think inevitably as an artist, as you grow as a human, inevitably you grow in your capacity to have depth with whatever character you're playing. So that was really, really cool. To your second question, audiences on the road versus New York. I don't know. I feel like it's just different night to night. And I think that's what's so exciting about live theater, is it's a living, breathing organism. You're creating this thing not only with your cast on stage, but also with whoever's there to see you. And it's this nice give and take. I think it just depends night to night.
Mm-hmm. And you were the 15th anniversary, Glinda, which is, you know, amazing. And
thanks.
You played opposite Jessica Vosk, who also is an incredible performer. So how was that? I kind of think of you guys as the dream team after the original, of course.
That's so sweet. Well, I call her my bunny. Hi, Jessica, if you're listening to this. I love her so much. We actually got to play our roles on the tour in 2016 through the beginning of 17. And then we got to come back together on Broadway. So that was interesting too, because we were together for about 6 months and then a year and a half passed. And then we were together again for that amount of time. And so seeing how we both evolved in the roles and got to play off of each other was really interesting. She is so supportive. Also, I feel like I had a front row concert to like, the front row seat to the best concert ever when I was up on stage with her. Just a voice like butter, whatever, whatever. And she's a real champion of her castmates. And so it was an honor to do it with her twice.
Fantastic. Jelani, you debuted in Ain't Too Proud last July, taking over the role of Eddie Kendricks from Jeremy Pope. How did you prepare to play a real person? Especially one that's so legendary.
So legendary. So I actually got hired in the show as a standby. And I got bumped up when Jeremy put in his moved on to Bigger and Better. We miss you, Jeremy. But he so beautifully constructed this role that I definitely pulled from what he was doing, for sure. I copied a lot of it because it's so good. But I watched a lot of Eddie's interviews to really understand. You have to understand why someone does what they do, you know, because you hear it, but then to really understand it. And I watched a lot of his interviews, and I think he was a lot misunderstood. You know, his temper sort of get the best of him because he's a hothead. But I will say that a lot of my character development came from actually getting to talk with Otis Williams, because he's very much alive and well and involved in the show. And he would come and take us out and tell us all these excerpts and wonderfully, beautifully crazy stories of the actual temps. And he actually sat me down just to talk about Eddie. And I absorbed all that like a 3M sponge. And I because you're getting it right from who it happened to. You know, and so I was all ears. When it came down to the choreography, I watched a lot of the temps choreography. We're not doing that. We're doing that times 10. So nothing prepared me for that. But Sergio does a beautiful job of finding the artistry through choreography. And doesn't matter if you are a trained dancer, if you have a passion for movement, you'll find your way in the show. And I have so much fun doing this show night after night that it's a perfect recipe of nostalgia and this new era.
I will say, before you took over the role full time, weren't you covering three roles?
Oh my gosh, I covered so many.
Well, so
I
he had to learn three parts.
No, four. I covered
four.
Of the
oh
five
my god.
Temps.
Okay.
Wow.
Also, I had to do all the ensemble specialty stuff. So I was always in rehearsals, always learning something, and now it's all gone. But
that's a lot of choreography to learn.
It's a lot, and what's the choreography is so specific on a one count or two or three or four, because there's a lot of canons, a lot of lefts or rights. You guys know what I'm talking about. They've seen the show a few times. but it's so great to now have that Rolodex, because this show will run for a long time, and who knows, maybe I'll assistant direct it someday
or
something like that. But
so
now
great.
I'm loving where I'm at with this role, because it's a wonderful roller coaster, and especially Act Two, where he really gets into, you know, the heartache of him leaving the group and his sort of dissension in the ranks. That's what it is. It's a really fun story to tell. Mm.
Jelani, for as long as I've known you, you've done these very physical parts that require a lot of movement and dancing. You had that spectacular choreography in Smokey Joe's. I don't know if anybody saw Smokey Joe's Cafe, but he did these backflips in the middle of Jailhouse Rock, and then somehow he still hit those big notes at the end after you know, all of that, which is crazy. And then, of course, amazing. Simba has a lot of movement, and now Ain't Too Proud. And even when you did the Apple Boys off Broadway, there was a lot of movement and
you
a lot of business.
You better know the resume. Get
I do.
There.
Hello. I'm like your stalker fan. So did you have a lot of dance training? How did you come to this?
Well, I actually used to be a competitive cheerleader.
Wow.
So I was always jumping around a lot. I still choreograph for Gotham Cheer, and I enjoy it. I actually just went back to my high school to help them with their production of Peter Pan. So I'm getting the kids moving. But
yeah.
I always loved to just monkey around. I grew up with three other brothers, and we used to pretend we were ninjas all the time. So, like, I really enjoy movement and moving my body. And I also love recreating. I would watch Michael Jackson's videos a lot and recreate that as a kid. But I think that the cheer definitely got me involved with jumping and moving around and flipping, for sure. But what I loved about Josh is Josh Bergasa's choreography is that he choreographed around what we did. You know, so we got to just play, and it just so happened. I've never created a show before besides Smokey Joe's and the Apple Boys, but to be able to create and for it to pull from like what you can do, I think that's so special.
Yeah, it's a custom for
you. It's a custom for you, yeah. But The Lion King, I fell in love with the movement and wanted to make it my own because Julie Taymor, mother of Lion King, she found this beautiful Balinese movement that I just fell in love with and really wanted to make it my own because when you do get a role, you want to pay homage but then also paint it to be your own. Because we don't necessarily want carbon copies. We want to sort of put our own footprint in it. So my Simba did a couple backflips. And like my Simba definitely wanted to like expand his vocabulary of the Balinese movement. And that show is so dear to my heart.
So it seems to me that once you've been in Wicked or The Lion King, that you're always now in the family. Like you get pulled back a lot. What's it like to be in these mega hits? You know, what's it like to be in that family now?
Gosh, it's such a gift. You know, when I first had the opportunity to play Glinda, my very first Elphaba, of which there are, oh my gosh, just the ladies who bring it to that role are just incredible, and I'm always in awe of them. But my first ever Elphaba was Jackie Burns, right? Amazing.
Can we just get
a round of applause for
Jackie Burns?
Yes. And I had the opportunity when I made my Broadway debut, she was my Elphaba, so it was crazy full circle. It's just an honor to, get to explore something. It was an honor to get to explore something in multiple time periods of my life and with so many incredible women. And also just the fans, like I just feel like, gosh, it just, you feel so supported. On the road and then also here in New York. And specifically with Wicked, I feel like, and so many shows, but just speaking of my own experience with Wicked, the story I think just speaks of so many important themes that we all need to be reminded of and encouraged in and inspired by. And so feeling like, gosh, every time I could step on that stage and had the blessing to, it was like, it was just so full of purpose. I just so believe in the message of that show. It's very much a family, and we're very much grateful for that. Yeah.
And I know you've gone back to The Lion King even when you've been in New York doing other shows, too. So you
I'll
get
always
pulled
go back.
Back
to The Lion King. But The Lion King is so dear to my heart, and it has definitely opened up so many doors for me. You know, that's why I came to New York City, and I've got to perform at the White House for the Obamas. I've gotten to, like, be on TV with the show. Yes, the Obamas. But I've also got to, I was the 20th anniversary Simba, so, and after the show, Elton John came on stage and performed with us. Like, what? Or like, I came off stage one day and Heather Headley's there, and then, you know, so it's like, the Rolodex is deep, and the family is wide, but no matter what company you go to, we're all family, which is so wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I've done three companies, The Lion King, the Las Vegas production, the touring production, and Broadway, and I've loved every company, you know, and I made friends for life, which is just so great to say that in this community, you can make friends for life, and you know that they always have your back.
And also, these shows have these very devoted fan bases, and you guys have devoted fans too, which is interesting because when I was starting out in the business, that wasn't the case, that you could develop a huge fan base on the road. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's, is it because of social media and technology that people can, you know, find out more about you and share?
They can find out anything.
But I feel like that wasn't the case 15 years ago, where performers would, you know, when you did your 54 Below show, people were flying in to see you, and you know, because you had been their first Glinda. And yeah. Then when you did Smokey Joe's, we had legions of people who had seen you in The Lion King, who were like, "Oh, we have to see Jelani in a show," and we saw him at this place somewhere in the middle of the country. And I thought, "Gosh, that was not a thing," you know, years ago. And I think it's because of technology and social media, yeah. And the fact that you guys are very available to your fans.
Well, I can speak for Amanda that she's just super kind. And I think that as you go across this country and spreading that kindness and that message of positivity and connecting with people, you get support from that, and I wouldn't trade that for the world. I think that especially in these times, it's nice to respect each other and to promote positivity and to be kind. Like, even these two people here, they've seen the show so many times, and this beautiful artist, Emma, draws dog portraits for us and everyone in the cast. Oh. And just these little random acts of kindness that you don't forget, and you connect with people.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I love this business, is because it's the connection and the love. And we're healers, right? So art heals, and we love to spread that. So for people to come support it, it's a love that we share.
Yeah. Let me speak for Jelani also. He's really kind, you guys, also. I mean, yeah. I think there's something really deep about humans where we just long for connection. And the gift of the present time is that we have a way to do it, unlike any time in history. Like, when I was on the road with Wicked in 2011, Instagram was not even a thing yet, you guys. So crazy.
What?
Well, I know, if you can believe it. But I just enjoy it so much. I think it's a place to share stories, encouragement, and yeah, just connect over a shared love of theater and also just humanity. So definitely the intranet has changed everything.
It has.
But I'm happy that it's able to amplify that.
The goodness. We'll forget about the craziness.
Do you get it?
Goodness.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right.
Last question. So many fans look up to both of you. Who are your personal heroes? Or role models in the business, out of the business?
Oh, man. I think my parents are great.
Your mom is incredible.
Shout out to Jackie. Oh.
Yeah.
She's Jackie. Like a momager. She's so
anytime great. Jelani's in a show, his mom brings her church group, and she gathers hundreds of people to come
listen,
and see.
Yes. Over 1,000 people from my hometown came to see me in The Lion King and Smokey Joe's, which is wild.
They She's a one-woman group sales agency.
Wild?
Hometown hero.
But wow, the support is so great. What was the question?
Who your personal heroes?
Oh, who we look up to. I fell in love with Ben Vereen back in the day. Like, and a leading player is one of my dream roles for sure.
Yeah, oh my gosh, you'd be.
Stephen Schwartz, I think, is also incredible. Mm-hmm. Josh Burgas. Julie Taymor, hire me. but even this new great, like Des Makanoff has really blown me away with how he's always checked in on me as an artist and given me this wonderful opportunity and just challenges me and giving me challenges. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm inspired a little bit every day. Even the men I work with, Derek Baskin, Ephraim Sykes, Juwan Jackson, James Harkness, St. Aubin, they're all just... And even the rest of the cast, everybody is so talented and kind, but also they bring this level of artistry that I've been in the jungle for so long that I'm like, oh, well, y'all are doing this? Do you know what I mean? But I'm happy to rise and inspired to rise to the occasion.
Yeah, it's like people around you who like help you level up. I feel
exactly.
That way totally about like the Elphabas that I've worked with, and even Glindas who've come before me where I've seen them in the show and I'm like, wow, just the freedom and boldness that you can sort of find. My mom for sure, Natalie. She brings these chocolate chip pumpkin muffins to my casts wherever I am. She's amazing. She's also probably seen Wicked. I don't even know how many times she's come to see it. But yeah, my mom, I just really look up to her. Both my parents, so supportive. I have a real life mentor. She's not an actor, but she is a singer. Her name is Alice Isaac. She totally came into my life and changed my life several years ago. And she's like kind of the big sister that I never had. And then performance wise, oh my gosh, so many. But I think Bernadette Peters was really the one. I saw her in Annie, Get Your Gun when I was younger, and she...
It's a great performance, yeah.
So wonderful. And, of course, we cannot forget the queen, Kristen Chenoweth.
Of course not.
Yes, she's inspired me so much.
Wrap that up. I will say that both of you have done one of our Fine Signs 54 Below shows called I Wish. Did it in October, and you're appearing in it in February 3rd, is
February
it?
February 3rd.
So come see it, and hopefully we can talk Jelani into doing his own show soon, since you've already done your
we
show.
We need it, don't we? Let's get a round of applause for that.
So please check our website, 54below.com, to see all of our amazing shows coming up. But I Wish is great, because it's kind of like you... the dream role, you know, the parts that you may not have gotten to play, and you get to sing that, you know, that song from that show. We're out of time, so thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you, Nella.
Bye, everybody.
Thank
Happy
you all.
Happy Broadway Con.
Woo, Broadway Con!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.